Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey guys, it's Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We're digital producers for BravoTV.com, coming to you from Rockefeller Center in New York City. Yeah.
The week of premieres continues.
Woohoo!
And it's your favorite premiere.
Yes, Potomac. I literally just hugged Giselle in the office, and then she like shaded me about episode delivery, but...
It's funny that you said Potomac, because I was thinking of New York.
Oh! It is funny that I said that I automatically thought you meant Potomac. I love New York as far as like my favorite OG, but I also love Potomac.
Well, especially, I feel like, this season of Potomac.
Oh, my God. I've watched ahead a little bit, and it's so good.
And now we have imposters, too.
Yes. I've also watched ahead on that. It's really good, you guys. And I got to speak to Rob Heaps and Inbar Lavi, which are... Ezra Bloom and Maddie Johnson.
Yes.
Or Cece or various other characters that she plays.
Right. Yes. Yeah, who was she for you in this interview?
Listen and find out.
So, look, if you came here for a Southern charm chat, I'm sorry, we just have to put it off for 1 week, okay? Ugh. There was too much. We couldn't get to it.
There's too much. We're out. I'm in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, a little movie magic here. Like, none of us are... Here.
Yeah.
Scattered. I'm scattered across the globe.
Where is here?
Yeah. You're in Copenhagen. You're in where?
Jakarta, Indonesia.
And I'm in Houston, Texas.
Wow. Who has the better place?
But what we will be talking about in this episode is we talked to James and Raquel, and we got to talk to James about this trip in Mexico,
right?
Like this particular night in Mexico.
And Raquel getting the phone call.
Yes. I'm so glad we did, because yes, she has such an interesting perspective on what's been happening.
Right,
because
she's not there, but she lived it. It's about her.
Yeah, she's there, but not there.
Right. Like we are this week.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Nice. Thanks. Nice.
Anyway, you're back. You were just at a little thing called the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion.
Yes. Wow. What do I say? You know, this is what I loved about this reunion. As all of us Beverly Hills fans know, there were only like a finite amount of issues this season. You know,
They
were big, but you weren't going like all over the map with like craziness. Like these are particular issues that are bothering people, and because of that we really got to the bottom of each one of them at the reunion. Mm. Which was nice. It was nice to like have a list, check it twice, where are we on this, and not that everything ends up okay, but we still gotta talk about it.
I have a big question.
Okay.
Kyle's new teeth.
I just,
what were they like in person?
In person, I feel like you can always tell when someone has just gotten veneers because they're not used to them and
the way that they're talking is maybe like over
a little overpronounced because they're not used to the way they feel in their mouth. So I could, I don't know if you'll be able to tell as if you were watching the reunion, but in person I was like, oh. And it's just so interesting to me because I never thought, like, why does she need them?
Right. Well, I was reading on her Instagram and she was saying that her teeth were fine, but she always felt that they were too small and you couldn't see them when she smiled. So that was what she said.
Now I'm trying to picture but Kyle's
then,
teeth.
So then, okay, so then what I did is I looked on Instagram and I went down, like, to see what her old teeth looked like. She never smiles with her teeth. But maybe that's why. And now when she's had these new ones, it's like, smile, smile, smile.
I think it's teeth. A bold move after you've been on TV for so long to change something up. Because, like, we're used to the way she looks, and now she's changed it on us.
My, like, best friend of too many years got veneers, and she lives in the West Coast, so I only see her, like, a couple times a year. So, like, I have an idea of her in my head. So, like, she's had them for, like, a year and a half, but every time I see her, I'm like, your teeth!
I've always wanted
I love her
to get them, because I have really tiny teeth.
No. But you're a tiny person. You don't need big teeth.
You have normal sized teeth.
I think they're very little.
And well, my friend, she had like really little teeth because she grinded them. So she like needed veneers. It's just so weird because her teeth were so small.
Right. And now it's like a Shep effect.
Anyway. I love you, Winter.
But let's get into Roni.
New York has a plethora of issues. It's like the first every moment you're like, this, that. Ooh, it was a lot.
Can I say two words to describe how I feel about this episode?
Please.
Drunk Dorinda.
Adam Sandler's thing did it for me. They did a skit for NSL with Lady Gaga and Adam Sandberg. The guy that did it did my dress.
Like, we already got her.
I mean, this episode, there was so much, but, like, also it's like we just dove right back in. Usually yes. They have to, like, set up the season. Like,
where is everyone?
Nope.
You know exactly where they are.
I mean, there was, like, no catch-up, really.
Yeah.
Do we want to just go to the party?
I'd be fine to go to the party.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Luann stuff, we already know what's happening. Like, we've been so invested in it in real time as fans that we know what's happening at this point in her life. She's divorced. Hasn't been arrested yet. That's far away, but just divorced.
It was interesting, though, to hear her say that Bethany's words haunt her.
Yes.
When I look back at all the warning signs, you know, even what Bethany says haunts me.
You are having any doubts, you don't have to do it.
I'm not. No, you can't say things like that.
But I can say things like that because I don't think your guy's a good guy.
Like, that was like, whoa.
Yes.
Because it's so crazy because at the time, I remember us talking about it being like, you can't say that to someone. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you believe it, you can't say that to them because that's their decision at the end of the day. But at the same time, it's like if you're a good friend and you really feel a way, like, maybe you have to say it.
I do have to say, though, because I think we did talk about this and I said, well, you know what, if you're not sure, just do it anyway. Like, sometimes
you
just
did
like
say
just,
that.
Just if you're that far in the engagement, the invites have gone out, just go through with it. And I kind of stick by it because what has Luann lost? Like, they had this prenup, so it was very cut and dry when they got divorced. No children were affected. What? She got a great party out of it. No?
Well, she didn't lose her name.
Yeah.
She didn't lose anything.
Didn't even have to make that second trip to the DMV.
Right. So really?
Yeah.
No loss there.
Yeah.
Did she lose her countess title?
Yes. But she's still going to go by the countess.
Right. It's a brand at this point.
Yes. Right. Countess and friends. Hashtag.
Yes.
I want to call out that Sonia's interview outfit, that's the red dress, is the red dress that I saw fall off at Countess and Friends.
You know what? Sonia, well, you were complaining earlier that...
I know. Okay, so I re-promoted, or I throwback Thursdayed me and Megan behind the bar because we did a sweepstakes. We haven't announced the winner yet, giving away tickets to Watch What Happens Live. So I did a throwback post, and I was like, oh no, I'm wearing that dress to the wedding I'm going to be in like a week, of which there will be like tons of photos. And so now it's like everyone would have forgotten that happened in October. No one would remember the dress, but now I just put it out there again. I'm going to look so lame.
Well, you are not alone. Sonia also likes to recycle a dress. Right. Which is a very, like, by the way, normal person thing to do.
I don't want to be normal.
It's just that we're not used to it in Real Housewives land, especially coming off the heels of Beverly Hills.
Right, who, like, don't even, like, have the same outfit in one night.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, it's good enough for Sonia. It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
But let's get into this party.
This fateful Halloween night.
Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Okay, it's my second favorite.
What's your favorite?
Christmas.
Blew.
Gifts.
Gifts. Who do you think had the best outfit?
Okay, let me think. Not Carol. Not Bethany. I like Dorinda's. Not Luann. Not Sonia.
Oh, Ramona.
Ramona!
Yes.
I was like, how are you not saying Ramona immediately?
I like had to go through the list. Yeah. Wait, what was Tinsley? A Madonna.
Oh, that's cute.
That was fine.
But Ramona's was good.
Like, how bold did you... Oops, I did it again.
Yes.
She did it.
She did it.
Again. Good job, Ramona.
Yes.
Also, I think they should always have a microphone prop during their fights.
Right.
I'm just going to say that.
Whose did you think was the worst?
I'm going to...
Okay, let me rephrase. Who did you think was the most problematic?
It's going to be the same answer, Megan.
Bold choice, Luann.
Bold choice. But as... I'm going to let Carol speak for me on this.
Yes.
Something's a little off about Luann's costume.
I'm Diana Ross because she's fabulous.
Diana Summers.
Luann's costume is so disrespectful. I think she's tone deaf when it comes to cultural stereotypes.
So several things are happening. Sonia comes in with Rocco.
Yes. Cutie pie Rocco.
Cutie pie. I love him. Apparently they're like not exclusive, but like she's dating him.
Yeah.
And him alone?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because last season she ended up with
Frenchie.
Doesn't
go over to Dorinda for an hour.
Which is weird. I agreed with Dorinda. No, you didn't just end up at the same party. Dorinda invited you. So you should go say hello.
Even if you're like entertaining your friend, go over and be like, oh my God, hi, this is amazing.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for inviting me. And then you can like walk away and go back. And then what I would have done is if I knew I had to like hang out with Rocco, I would have gone in before the bar, said hi to everyone, and then gone to the bar and then just stayed at the bar.
Yeah.
And that way you like said hello.
Yeah.
But then you don't have to be over there if like Rocco's uncomfortable. I don't know.
Totally.
She should have called me. I would have told her what to do. But then you also have Bethany and Ramona.
Yes. Once again, it's always about, you know, like where things are. Like going back to the very first episode of New York, remember it was like Jill was shading Alex McCord because they went to St. Bart's in like the off season.
Right.
And
right,
like, well, right. I pay more because I go on the on season.
Right.
And now it's like last season we talked about Palm Beach, the good parts of Palm Beach, West Palm.
West Palm is over here, and there's a bridge that connects you to Palm Beach. Now, they're both beautiful places, but West Palm is no Palm Beach.
It's ridiculous. West Palm, Palm Beach, you're going to Palm Beach.
And now it's this place in the Hamptons.
Right, on the highway, south of the highway, north of the highway, which I think is telling that, like, if you really didn't care, Bethany, would Doth protest so much?
Right.
Oh, so it's on Ocean Road?
No, it's on Montauk Highway.
Okay. I'm sorry, okay.
Is that good enough for you or no?
I would never buy it on the highway.
Excellent.
That's me. Sorry.
I'm glad we went through this little exercise that I got your approval. I feel much better now.
I mean, it's also, like, ballsy of Ramona. I feel like if there's one person I wouldn't question their property choices, it would probably be Bethany, right? Like, she's made some smart decisions in her life.
Right, and there's layers to this, right? Because the second there's, like, a whisper of, like, it's not that good gets into, like, the ether, does the property value go down? This is on a national platform. You know, they're on television.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So it's kind of, like, not that great to do it. Right. In, you know.
But I also do wonder if Bethany will always kind of carry this.
I think she's always going to have a little bit of an axe to grind with Ramona. It's just like always, like it's, that's why she reacts so much, because it's not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you meant?
Or that she's always going to have that tinge of, like, new money.
I love that you just said that.
Well, that,
but
like,
no, because it's so true, because it's the classic, like, and not that Ramona's not new money, because she is.
Yeah.
But it's like this Upper West Side, Upper East Side, old money women versus, like, Bethany, who, like, really is truly new money.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. Thoughts, Grace?
I love real estate drama. When I was in college, I would spend the summer in my grandfather's apartment, which they used to use as the entrance for Jill's building back in the day.
Oh, cool.
It's not her actual building, but her building is like a couple blocks up. And I remember telling my mom that, who was like, God love her, but a bit of a snob. And she was like, oh, that's not really the Upper East Side. Because I think Jill lives like 61st and between 1st and 2nd or something like that. And so it's not like premium upper. And Sonia, there was a similar revelation that she might live on the wrong side of Lexington.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I live for this stuff. But I do think Bethany like is self-made, but like I trust her even more than when it comes to real estate.
She has her own show.
She literally has her own show. She's buddies with Frederick.
It's true. There's no way she would be like... I mean, but that's the thing, though, too, is that I do think, like, Ramona is speaking to something that I don't think is not true.
No, because I agree with you. Like, anyone else knows, well, Bethany, why do you care what Ramona says?
Right.
But there's something about it that, like, rubs her the wrong way.
But I do think it's probably in that circle, in the wealth of the Hamptons community, south of the highway is probably where you want to live. Yeah. It's probably closer to the beach. Mm-hmm. It's probably, like, a known thing in the Hamptons community. The fact that she's still not going to make hand over fist selling this house, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But, like, to certain people, that kind of stuff does matter. It's, like, south of Broad Street, which is why... It's a Charleston reference, a Southern Charm, but like slightly north of Broad Street, that was an acronym of how we have the word snob, and that's about
what?
Yes, I know. I was like, Grace is gonna love this fact, and it's a, and Broad Street is a street in Charleston. So if you were slightly north of it, I think it's slightly north is what it is. It's some kind of acronym, but it's how we get snob, and those were like closer to the water, so you got the breeze on your porch.
Wow!
Yeah, that's where the Richies lived.
Amazing.
We learned so much on this podcast.
I know, you're welcome, world. A little Southern Charm action for you. So we have that fight, but then we also have the Luann and Carol fight. And I just want to say, Megan, I wish I could be more insincere.
Perhaps I could have texted Luann, but I think it would have been completely insincere. I wish that I could be insincere. Life would be much easier.
Right. Yeah. Those, like, also, that bothered me that Luann should care. You guys aren't friends.
Right.
You run in the same group of friends. You are not friends. You've never been friends.
I think they used to be friends.
Well, right, fine, a long time ago. But, like, after Luann, like, made such a fuss over Adam, whether right or wrong, it's over now.
Yeah.
It's over! What is that from? It's still not over.
It's still not over.
We always references, and I never know what it's from. It wasn't over. Oh, The Notebook.
Oh, right. Of course it was.
It's still not over. And then they kiss.
Another movie I've never seen.
Grace, that's just disgusting to me that you haven't seen The Notebook.
I'm so sorry. I cried until I went to bed and woke up crying after
like,
seeing The Notebook.
Like, to me, that's just you're trying to be, like, anti-establishment.
No,
I won't see The Notebook.
I just genuinely never had a cause to see it.
Did you never have a girlfriend growing up, Grace?
Like, not that saw The Notebook.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I just, like, I'm sad for you.
I'm
that
sorry.
Movie is just so good. You would be a mess.
It wrecked me.
I no joke, cried until I went to bed and then woke up crying on the way to work the next day. I was a mess. That's how deep it was.
My mom still references it whenever she talks about dying. That's how me and your dad will die. Just like that's what everyone says, Mom. Then they get hit by a car.
Oh, my God. But I will say, do you think there's anything to... Big life things. You're in this group of women. You're in this very exclusive group of housewives. Do you reach out with big life things no matter what?
Yes, I agree. Because I'm watching season two right now, the beginning of Beverly Hills, and it's Camille and Kyle have just come off their season-long feud, and Camille says Kyle called me when she heard about my divorce, like when the divorce was finalized.
And that, like, helped them move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could have been your way back in, Carol.
Yeah, true, but I don't think she cares.
I think she wants back in. I can't believe she's been on the show since 2012.
I know.
I can't imagine it. I don't know. She always feels new and fresh to me. Like, kudos to her for not feeling like you've been there forever.
Right. I guess I would just want to end on drunk Dorinda. And that, like, she as the host of the party left before everyone else.
After the math, I can sit in my apartment, I'll make a roast chicken, I'll get four bottles of gray wine, okay. And we'll sit there, close the door,
okay.
And we'll tell our deepest, darkest secrets, and then go to sleep in my bed.
Okay.
Watch Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. And it's like she left without her wig, and like with her...
Should I go home, John? Should I go home?
So good. You're really good at drunk Dorinda.
Thank you. It's really fun to do.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
But there's another premiere this week, a show that I work on very near and dear to my heart, Imposters Season 2. Find out what happened after... Everything fell out last season with the wedding and the ring and, like, the FBI. It was crazy.
If you guys haven't watched this show, you need to binge it. It's on Netflix. What can you tell us about the new season?
Well, they go to Mexico.
Oh, like many a housewife.
Yes, and I would say get into some housewifey in troubles.
Oh, like naked, like Sonia.
Swimming around in a pool. Not quite like that, but, like, there's nakedness. But let's get into my conversation with Robin Imbar. It was bi-coastal and over Skype, but they were just the sweetest, nicest people. They gave me just enough that I wanted to know about the show. And we kind of got, like, deep into talking about acting and their craft. And their moments of how they stay humble are hilarious. So look forward to that. Well, I am here bi-coastally with Inbar Lavi and Rob Heaps from Imposters. So congrats, you guys, on season two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Last year, we left on, like, this huge cliffhanger. You didn't know if you were coming back. Did you guys, like, finish the story in your heads on your own?
I didn't. I should have done. I didn't. No, I kind of was really hoping we'd get another shot at it, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, the ending, because it was a cliffhanger in a way, but also it wasn't as cliffy a cliffhanger as some cliffhangers are, you know? It wasn't like... The bus didn't crash, or the bus didn't end up hanging off a cliff like in The Italian Job. And I think they did a nice job of, like, so if we hadn't, you know, God forbid, have had another shot at it, I think, you know, it would hopefully have kind of been satisfying enough the way they left it. But yeah, we get off the bus 10 hours later, and that's where season two starts.
Yes.
I think for me, season one felt so good. I've shot a few different shows by then, and I had done this whole gig before, and I never felt as confident as I did finishing season one of Imposters, and I had no doubt in my mind that we were gonna continue to tell that story. So I didn't have to finish it off in my head. I finished it off on
screen.
Yep.
What was, like, the biggest question you had about either your character or where the storyline was going into season two?
The biggest question?
Yeah. I guess for me, Ezra obviously towards the end of season one, develops a bit of an edge that he that no one really had seen, least of all him, before, and he started to enjoy the deception and the conning and the grifting. And yeah, I was just curious to see how far we could take that, I guess. And and now he's on the run, and he's not, you know, he's not kind of, he hasn't seen his family for a while, and there aren't the same, I think it's easy to reinvent yourself when you're not, when you're on your own, you know, when you're not around the people that you know from your previous life. It's as much the people around you that keep you set in who you are, because people see you in a certain way, and that kind of pins you, you know. If you're around people that see you in a certain way, it's hard to shake that off. Whereas when you're out in the world, and there's no really, you're not really held accountable, as he's not now, you can really have fun with it. And I think that's where he's, what he starts to do more and more.
I think, you know, Maddie to me is someone that constantly teaches me different lessons, and I guess that's a big part of me playing her, is really trying to understand why she does what she does. And I had a lot of questions for her.
I'm sure. As does the audience. We're all like dying to know everything.
There's going to be a dive into her backstory, a deeper dive into her backstory this season. So a lot of my questions were answered. I think it was difficult. Sometimes the truth is really hard to hear. You know, it's hard to understand why a person feels most comfortable pretending. And I feel like I have that in common with her, so I had to ask myself that same question. I still don't quite understand why, but at least I'm on a path to realizing more of it.
Do you guys find, as actors, you find out so much about yourself when you play different roles?
Yeah, I think so. Because I mean, I think really every part that you're ever cast in is really just someone that you could have been, you know. But for the grace of God, there go I. You know, it's that thing of, it's just me in a different circumstance, in a different time, or a different situation. And so, yeah, you do find out. You find out what you could have been and who you could still be, you know. And again, Ezra, for me, is, I have that in common with him, I think, is that he's someone who, you know, his previous life, he was very set in his ways and didn't really take any risks and dreamt about taking risks, but was very set. And now he's realizing this new power, you know. He can reinvent himself and put on different masks and win people's trust and use talents that he wasn't aware of. And it's the same with acting. You have to meet it halfway, at least, and you have to become the thing, really. To do it well, you really have to go there. Mm-hmm.
So we meet a lot of new faces this season. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your new castmates?
Well, we have Paul Adelstein, who is also the executive producer of the show, the writer of the show, the heart and soul behind it. And he gets to come in and terrify me.
And the audience.
Yes, he's very scary.
Yes, and we have Laura.
Mm-hmm. So Laura Archbold, who's Colombian, is based in LA now, I think, more or less. But yeah, she's a really exciting new character.
She's stunning. Yeah. I tried to get them to not hire a beautiful human, but it didn't work. So
she was just too damn good. Yeah. So she may be on somebody's horizon pretty soon.
Yeah.
And there's some characters from actually, you know what? Everyone, all the main characters have someone, a really cool person from their past.
Hmm.
Richard has a really interesting character in the first episode. You've seen it.
I love to ask this question of people that come through. What's like one moment that you were like, wow, I'm really like, I'm doing it. I'm like making it, like as an actor or like just in your career?
Wow. Whew.
It's an interesting question, and it's a difficult question for me to answer because I do find that I'm never satisfied. And to be quite honest, it's exhausting. But the kind of business that I'm in, sometimes it's hard for me to just take a step back and appreciate an accomplishment. when I finally get that little job that I wanted so badly, you're so hungry and excited for the next that you don't really relish in the beauty of that achievement. And I think it's never ending. So it's still a work in progress for me to really say, oh, I've made it, whatever that means.
It's just, you want the respect and the appreciation of your peers and the actors you work with. And then it's
about the audience. And then it's about, you know, the success of the project. And you kind of lose sight of what is it you're after.
That's the thing. And all the stuff like, you know, I got flown to LA 2 days ago, business class and stuff like that. If you're not careful, you think, oh, I've made it now because I'm flying business class, and it's ridiculous. But you go through that thing, like, and then you go, whoa, like, this might be the last business class flight you ever take, you know. And so you really have to just ignore, enjoy that stuff, but appreciate it for what it is, which is just nonsense
for me.
And go back to what you're an artist, you know, you're trying to do good work. That's all it is, and you want to feel good about your work, and you want other people hopefully to feel good about your work.
But for me, when you go after what you really want to do, and when you're a part of something you're excited about, that's making it.
I love what you said, Rob, about like having to almost need to stay grounded. Almost like it must be so hard in like the industry that you're in. Do you have anyone that helps you do that, or is there anything you do to help yourself stay grounded?
Yeah, my friends back home, all of them, I've actually said to them in no certain terms, if I ever start talking like an idiot, can you please just make as much fun of me and just humiliate me? Because there's, you know, because again, as an actor, you know, your job as an actress is to tell stories, is to observe people and to stay grounded. And I think the more you start to believe the smoke that's blown up your ass, you know, the more you lose touch with that. I mean, you're an observer and a storyteller, and to do that, you need to be in the real world and not to be kind of, you know, swept up by it all. So that for me is the biggest motivation, because I don't want my acting to suffer. You know, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, my family will never let me forget. My dad has a video of him wiping my ass as a baby. Every time I give him some sass, he sends that video to me and he goes, see this?
Literally,
that's do you see what this happens. if I go home and I'm, you know, and we're sitting at a dinner table and everyone's like drinking out of whatever plastic cups, and we ran out and I happen to have the glass cup, you know, like the glass. They're all like, oh, Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just, they will never let me. I mean, they will never let me forever and ever. So.
Yeah.
I love that. kind of the reverse question. Do people, like, see you on the street and they're like, Maddie, why did you do that? Or, like, you know, do you get, like, what's the craziest thing someone said to you?
You know what's crazy? I mean, it's a lot about the bus. It's always about, how did you get on the bus? I'm like,
oh, right, why are you taking public transport?
I don't ride the bus, honey.
Yeah.
No, you know what I get a lot? Men come up to me and they go like this. They shake my hand and they go, you can take my money anytime you want.
Whoa.
Like that. And they always say it in a whisper way. And they're like, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
Let's do this.
Oh my God. They probably think they're being like so clever too, but you get it all the time.
I get it all the time.
That's so funny. That I remember Parker and I had a funny time last year. We were in New York. And we were going to see Marianne. We were going to see, because Marianne's family live in New York. So they'd invited us to dinner. And so we had to go to New Rochelle. And none of us are from New York, so we didn't know how to get there. And so we looked it up on Google Maps and stuff. And basically, we just made a complete clusterfuck of this journey. And we went to the Grand Central Station and missed the train we needed. We were like, legging it across the concourse. Mm. Mick went to the wrong platform, eventually got on the wrong train. And we were like, is this a train to New Rochelle? I was like, no, this goes all the way to Poughkeepsie.
Oh, so we
like,
no.
And the guy, and we were breathless and sweating. And we said, is this the train to New Rochelle? And this guy went, aren't you guys an imposters? And we were like, we could not have looked less cool. You know, this show Imposters is about these people being really like slick under pressure and stuff. And then those two just like, just hanging out, just in the worst state possible. And this guy's face, I'll never forget the look on this guy's face. Like, wow, I thought it was almost, he was disappointed in us. You know, like, I thought you guys were slicker than this. Yeah. So that was fun.
You should have been like, yeah, that's where we're going. That's where the bus is going.
Yeah, that's what we're
Rochelle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you give us any more sneaks about the season for fans?
No.
No. See, you're really good. You don't crack.
What can we tell you?
It's darker, right?
It's definitely darker. I think it's it goes deeper into the real psyche of each of the characters, I think.
Definitely.
That's not thrilling at all.
No, no.
It gives her nothing.
I know. We've still got the comedy, hopefully. We hopefully didn't lose sight of that. There may or may not be a love interest for Ezra on the near horizon.
There may or may not be a love interest for Maddie.
Wink, wink.
And... Oh, how can we say? I mean, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of pissed off people out there right now. There's the doctor. There's the FBI.
Right.
There's Patrick, who's suffered romantic and professional humiliation at the end of season one. So he's now kind of gone rogue. There are a lot of people out there that want us, you know, and not in a good way. So we're going to have to. There's going to be a reckoning for sure.
I can tell you there's a Marilyn Monroe con that happens. I get to be Norma Jean for a quick moment
dream come
in time.
True.
Yeah, it was a real fantasy.
That was so.
Can you give us your best Marilyn Monroe line?
Oh boy, we sure did get the fuzzy end of the lollipop, don't we?
I love it. That's You're amazing. Great.
Thank you. That is so.
So fun. I feel like this show just must be a blast.
It really is.
It's tough, but in a good way.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The not dark parts.
Exactly. And we genuinely get on, which is it's a gift, you know?
We got really lucky.
We got really lucky with each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aw, I think that's such a good note to end on. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, last, certainly not least, Vanderpump Rules.
Ooh, ooh!
Another drink throw!
Yes!
My all-time favorite Bravo trope. Grace and Rachel just nodded enthusiastically, like, yes, yes, that's the word.
No, because I was reading the word trip in our notes, as you said trope, and I was like, it's the wrong word, Megan. I realized. Yeah. The trip has been... tough for James.
Yeah. Not great for him so far.
Yeah, no. But he seems to be doing okay now.
Yeah, we talked to him and Raquel earlier this month. And it was right before his Watch What Happens Live performance of... What's that new song?
Get Loose.
Oh, right. I did listen to it.
Get Loose.
How could I forget Get Loose? But we talked to him. And like we said before, Raquel was here. So, of course, we got her on the mic. Well, we are here with James Kennedy, the white Kanye West.
Hello, hello, everybody.
And Raquel.
Hi.
Hi.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here today.
Every time you're here, we force you to be on our podcast.
I know. Well, James, whether you realize it or not, you're about to have your biggest hit. Because last time Sheena was in the office, she promised us that you two would make our new theme song.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, she signed it, the contract, on your behalf.
Interesting.
So you guys will be starting on that soon.
All right, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just give me a couple of weeks, I'll have it done.
Yeah, because the theme song currently is...
Shake That.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So just me and Sheena's new song will be you guys' next theme song. Is that what I'm getting at?
I mean, if you want to record it for our podcast specifically...
Specifically, that would be okay too? All right, perfect. I'd probably be down with that.
That song with Tom Sandoval's beautiful trumpet playing.
Beautiful, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has that come out?
It hasn't come out, no. Unfortunately, you know. It's just it's been a hard road with that song. A lot of editing, a lot of hours put in. And until it's perfect, I can't do it to me. I can't do it to Tom.
Yeah. What can fans expect in terms of music? What's happening?
So tonight, I'm going to be doing Watch What Happens Live. You know, I'm going to be premiering a new song.
Yes!
What is it called?
It's called Get Loose.
Ooh!
I loved your performance of Top Man on Watch What Happens
Live. Thank you very much.
So good.
This performance I'm going with definitely a more hype-beast, like street fashion vibe. You know, I'm not really going with just the Top Man was the Top Man back then, but now I'm going with like a little bit of a different vibe this time. But definitely, you know, it's a future vibe. I feel like this is where 2018 should be.
Right.
So it's going to be very, very, very interesting.
Do you get nervous to perform on live TV?
I've only done it once. So, yeah, I mean, I still get nervous with anything. But, you know, once I get in there, get in the mood, the vibe's created, I'll be fine.
And he gets nervous before every performance.
There's no...
He stops talking and he's like in the
just
corner.
Just gets in his zone.
Like, thinking to himself, and I'm like, it's okay, babe, just take a breath. But he always kills it. So
what do you think of the new song?
I love it. I can't wait for it to be released so everyone can enjoy it and like play it in the car and play it getting ready, doing your makeup. It's a great song.
Awesome. We want you to be a video vixen.
Yes.
For James.
Oh, so definitely gonna happen.
Okay, good.
I can't wait. Do you think you'll spin at Tom Tom when it opens?
Of course.
Of course,
yeah. You know, Tom's going to have to get JK in the building for a couple nights, maybe throw a little party on a Friday. Yeah, someone's gonna get that place, like, you know, the party going, you know, definitely. Yeah, I think he'll throw a night in my hands and give me a chance. I hope so.
Is it close the way that Villa Blanca and Pump are, so you could just, like, run from one to the other?
Go from Sir to Pump to Tom Tom. Three shows in one night, not bad. Then I'll go head home. I'll be tired after that, probably.
That scene of you running down the street with your, what is it, DJ board? I don't know
what
you call
it. Yeah, it's my mixer, yeah. It's my DJ board. It's pretty good.
Because you're so talented, we know you can spot talent. Who's the more talented performer? Sheena or Lala?
You know, I feel like Sheena is definitely a great performer, you know, but, you know, Lala, just because me and Lala aren't getting along right now, I'm not going to sit here and turn around and say, oh, la. But, you know, Lala definitely, she's got a lot of work to do, you know, she's no dancer, she's no, you know, she doesn't sing on tune all the time either, but, you know, does Sheena either? No, I mean, that can't.
No, but Lala knows how to put on a show, she knows how to perform to an audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd say Lala, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Raquel, you're here. Do you guys watch the show together?
It's been really hard because I'm still in school. This is my last year at Sonoma State University.
Congrats.
So we have been watching the show together when we were together this winter break.
Do you still volunteer at Vanderpump Dogs when you're in town?
Yeah, last time I was in town, I got to volunteer a little bit and walk the dogs around the block and clean up their pens and everything. Yeah.
Cute. I bet it's hard not to leave with all of them in tow.
It's so hard. It's so hard not to fall in love with at least one dog after volunteering for a day.
Absolutely.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
We kind of touched on Lala a little bit. Where are you at now, James, with Lala?
You know, leave that to Lala. She's the one that makes the rules, apparently. Yeah, one minute she's up, the next minute she's down. I'm not talking to her right now. I'm not talking to Logan either. You know, it's just like I've had enough of, you know, just like having to check my phone in the morning to see who's telling me to go f*** myself that day. It's like, you know, just like I'm leaving it out at this point. It's just always up and down. She's, you know, having to film the show and then like make up and then having to rewatch it again. Like people just don't know how to handle it. I do. I don't really get butthurt about shit like that. But if you want to like just like act like that, then fine. But I can see how it's hard for Lala. You know what I mean? I was very disrespectful towards Randall and, you know.
But why would Logan not be
sorry
talking
about
to
it? Well, no, I'm not talking to Logan now. I'm not talking to Logan now
got
because
it.
I'm the one reliving that. So it's like,
right.
You know, it's causing drama that I don't need. So it's just like, you know, why even try to bother?
We were shocked to see that tweet from Lala saying that, like, you guys aren't friends. Did you already know before that went out? Or was
no,
that a shock?
No, she never gives me 5-minute notice. If you saw, did you read my reply to that? Because
no,
there
I mean,
was
she took
one.
It down and then, yeah.
Yeah, she did take it down, didn't she? You know, just like, exactly. Then why put it up in the first place? No one really gives a shit. I don't.
James, I think we cut you off, but you said that you were sorry. about what you had said maybe on the show about Lala's?
Yeah, no, yeah, obviously, like, you know, everyone says things that, you know, a lot of feelings come out, real feelings whenever I talk. It's always me. So it's like, you know, sometimes I, you know, regret what I say. I wish I could take things back. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, sorry about it, but get over it. And if you aren't over it, then don't keep saying you are and having to cut me off over and over, because now you're just messing with, like, just making waves in a pool that doesn't need to have waves in it. Just let it chill.
With all of the drama that's happened this season, what are, like, the biggest misconceptions you feel people have, either about your relationship or individually?
What do you think?
The big eyes from Raquel.
I think our whole relationship is very misunderstood. James and, well, like, I don't know. On camera, you only see a glimpse of how we interact with each other. And, like, people want to see more of that. Like, people will comment and say, like, I really don't see the connection there. But, you know, there's so much more than just what's being portrayed on the show.
Right.
I don't know. And I think the whole thing with Logan, like, I don't know why Jax is so sure that James and Logan were together, but no, that would never happen. So I don't know.
Nor did they ever say something like that until Jax saw an opportunity to take the weight off his shoulders. I mean, you know, he had just cheated on Brittany with Faith. You know, he's in a very, very awkward place right now, and he sees an opening. I mean, and it's James. I mean, he'd be dumb not to go for it.
So it was a distraction move.
Of course. A great one, too. But, you know, he didn't even ask for that to happen. You know, that was just a drunken, dumb move by Logan, which he was quick to regret. And, you know, it's just funny. But we kept running with it. But, you know, Jax was having a good old time with it, so it's pretty funny.
You're kind of touching on something that I think as fans we're always, like, in shock that you and Jax get along now, or you seem to be...
Yeah, I like Jax, you know, we're mates, you know, it's definitely come to a point where we're just, like, not hating on each other anymore, we're both comfortable in where we are in life. It's great being friends with Jax now, you know, we go out for drinks, absinthe dates, it's cute.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. He actually texted me last night saying, James, what was the name of that absinthe bar we go to? And I'm like, who are you going there with, and where are you going? Because I'm in New York right now and I can't go, so you better wait for me. And he's like, oh, we will. I'm at the Belmont with Tom. Karaoke night. So it was good. So,
Well, I think speaking of Jax, a big question that we've had for pretty much all of the cast as they come through is, do you think that he did cheat with Faith? I mean, do you think this was the only time? Like, do you think that it happened more than once?
I mean, if he says no, then no. But, like, I don't know. Faith says yes, he says no. I haven't gotten proof.
It is really crazy with this group. You guys kind of, like, carry these secrets about each other and wait for just the right moment.
It's messed up, isn't it?
So tell us a secret we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't have any secrets about anyone.
Raquel.
I'll tell you a secret.
Yes!
I don't know if I should say this.
Wait, what? What's that?
Now you think it's going to be so dirty, and it's not. James and I are moving in together. We're getting our own apartment this summer.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to get a dog.
Yay!
From Vanderpump Dogs?
I'm actually not getting it from Vanderpump Dogs. My mom's going to get me one as a graduation present. And I struggle with anxiety, so I really want it as an emotional support animal.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's congratulations.
Exciting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, getting wiped I'm very excited.
Up. Are you going to move into the same apartment complex as
no,
Jax?
No. We're going to get a spot in like Beverly Hills adjacent West Hollywood area, very close to Sir. I like being able to walk up the street with my little mixer, so I'm going to keep trying to have that. And, you know, somewhere that's pet friendly, obviously, but still, like, chic. I think we're going to do pretty well.
That's so exciting.
I know. Is graduation May, June?
Mm-hmm. Graduation is in May.
Exciting. So soon. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll see you next Tuesday. Still killing it. You know, I'm chilling right now.
It's her favorite.
Yeah, my favorite, too. It's like, I'll see you this Tuesday. It's every Tuesday now.
And does it just get so crazy like we saw in the premiere of it?
That was a big one. But, yeah, it does get packed. You know, you definitely can't run through the lounge anymore on a Tuesday night. It's nice.
Amazing.
So yeah, come see me if you're in Los Angeles every Tuesday at Sir. Yes. And Thirsty Thursdays.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got Thursdays now too.
Twice a week. We know this big trip to Mexico is coming up. What can you tell us about it?
A lot. I could tell you a lot.
There was a lot of tequila drinking. As I
a lot
hear.
Of tequila drunk drinking. It was a lot of fun. You know, the place was amazing. You know, it was like a mystery world. It was just like crazy, mysterious, like jungles everywhere. It was just crazy. You know, free booze, margaritas, strawberry, blah blah blah, lava drinks. I mean, it was just nuts. You know, there was like 20 pools at this place. Like Whoa. It was like pool fell into another pool, fell into another pool. It just kept going. Just like, yeah, it was very trippy. They had bikes everywhere, like bicycles you could just jump on and ride around, like in the jungle, and then just leave them places, and then like pick up another bike somewhere else and walk. Yeah, it was just like insane.
Oh my god, it sounds like paradise.
It was paradise. Yeah, parrots were like talking to me.
What
did they say?
Like, what can you? What can you? There he is. What can you? Yeah.
We know that like some rumors come about, and we've watched ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
And we know that they have like no substance, and it's another kind of like Jax maybe stirring up some stuff. What was that like going through that?
You know, a lot of unnecessary drama. You know, it was hard. It was kind of like a bully situation. I felt like I was getting really close with the guys again. I was getting invited to boys' trips, and it's like, what the f***? Like, you gotta like now say this bullshit. And it's funny because I was like double crossed, because it was made to sound like I had said something, you know, and it was just like so convincing because I was pretty drunk, you know. I wake up, oh my god, James, do you remember what you said? It's like, what? You know, like, what the f-? You know, so it's like, you know, but I know, like, you know, like obviously nothing happened between Kristen and I, and it was just like such a load of bullshit I had to deal with. And like, you know, I must say Kristen was loving it. She was loving the attention, because I know you both have noticed there hasn't been much of her this year. And it's just like, you know, everyone's noticed. But it's like, you know, she's like a vampire. She'll just go for any blood she can, and she saw some fucking opportunity in Mexico. Jax, yeah, like, you know, I did like end up crying a couple times because it was just so bullying. It was just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I can't believe out of you of all people, the one part when I was sticking up for you, you know, like, you're going to do that to me? But it's like, he already has the tone before. So it's like, you know, am I going to still be mad at Jax now? Like, no. But, you know, God, there was so much drama I didn't have to deal with. And then to find out, like, that it was just all nonsense and that he was kind of in on it. It's just like, I felt like I was going crazy. Like, I really did. I thought I was, like, drunk in Mexico. Oh, what's going on? Like, I felt like I'll never go back to that resort again in my life, just because of the way I left it. Like, it just shambles, really. Calling Raquel at Catch Mexico, like, don't leave me. I didn't get with like, yeah, it.
What was that like, getting that phone call?
Crying. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, I couldn't understand him on the phone. I was like, babe, just take a breath. Like, I believe you. Like, if you say nothing happened, then like don't worry about it. And he's like, but it's not okay. Like,
right, because yeah. Everyone just believed me, and then like Kristen like throws a water glass over me, and it misses me and hits Lala, and it's just like, now finally, yes, because now Lala's on my side about it, because she wasn't saying a word until the water went on her, and then it was like, oh bitch, you throwing on me, you know. So it's just like, thank god she missed. But you know, it's just like funny that Kristen, like, you know, she just, you know, she took it and ran with it, and in a beautiful way, because I swear, like, no one throws water like that and Catch, and like has me, I'm just soaking my pink suit, for god's sakes, that Tom bought me. Oh my god,
there are people in this podcast studio who have not watched that episode, and there were excited gasps.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Last question. There's a ring on your ring finger.
No, it's just I normally bottle up here. I'm not married yet.
Yeah. Raquel's like, I don't have any.
Yes, very quickly. No. And you'll notice her ring, her finger first before mine, trust me.
She won't be able to. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. I always had so much fun here. Thank you.
Oh, good. Yay. Well, good luck tonight. I'm excited to see the performance.
Me too.
That'll be fun.
Okay, let's get into Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
My Rose was... and this is like to the editing team, when we saw Carol exercising for the marathon, they used like Rocky music.
Rocky-esque. Like they couldn't get the real Rocky, but they tried their darndest.
And it was so funny.
Going to the gym even once a week is a huge accomplishment. And I'm starting to run. 2 miles, 3 miles.
Oh my God.
6 miles.
Go.
And my longest run was 21 miles. But for me, that's incredible. I've never run across the street to get a cab.
I'm going to give my rose to Southern Charm this week. So we didn't get to talk about it, but obviously we want to. And the show is just amazing.
My thorn is going to be Cookie.
Oh, Cookie.
Wait. Cookie died?
Oh my God, Grace, where have you been?
I didn't watch this episode and also apparently have been
in a hole.
No, but Grace, we did a whole episode about it on the podcast.
What?
Wow, guys, Grace does not even listen to our podcast.
No more booze for you.
I like, I'm emotional.
It was emotional. It was.
I cried, obviously.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to cry.
It was very, very sad because she was saying, like, at one point she goes, Cookie is my family. And she goes,
oh, no.
And then she goes, was my family.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was single. I don't have family. Cookie's my family. And I know it's a dog, but she is. She's my family. She was my family.
Also, did anyone else think it was weird that they showed Jason in the flashback of Cookie?
I didn't notice. Yes. I saw her cooking, but I don't remember seeing Jason.
You see him and like hear him say, come on, cooks, or something. And I was like, what? What?
What a different world it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
You need some water, boo?
Cookie's been with me longer than my child, my homes, my success.
Come on.
Come on, boo-boo. Come on, mommy.
Cook. Cook.
Let's get to some fan shout-outs.
Fan shout-outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Did you see someone added us in their Instagram story?
Yes.
It was so cute. First time mom said she was listening to us talk about Teddy going to the reunion. And while she was making her coffee and she like played it. It's so cute. Thank you so much.
And guys, keep tagging us in your stories.
I know. We love it. And like keep just like DMing me. I love all of it. I'm having very interesting. Oh my God. Also, I got so many people DMing me about what French lick is like. Like, apparently it's very small.
Sounds so dirty.
I know. This of course, Brooks lives there.
This is where Brooks Ayers got married.
Yes, but someone sent me like a link to the possible church he was married at.
Ugh. Love it.
Yes. Keep that up.
Where can the people find you, Rachel?
You can find me at Suspiciously Small on Instagram and at Rachie Robb on the Twitter.
And I'm at Meg Segura on both.
And I'm...
Nope.
No, I'm not allowed to do it?
Not this week. All right, and next week we'll have Karen Huger from Potomac.
Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time. Get over here, boy.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuge,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.